I'll be reading what we're going to cover. But I will say that these children and their little signs and the comments on the TV really go along the line of what I want to share this morning. And it's about God the Father. God the Father. It is Father's Day, and a lot of times we're the ones that get honored, but He's the one who made all of us. And so I just want to speak a little bit about the fatherhood of God, not about sonship, but about the fatherhood of God, and about the blessing of that in general, and in my own life. Let's see, how do I say it? Hablando de Padre Celestial, ¿es claro? Glory to God. I still got a little bit left. No hablo español muy bien, pero un poquito. So in Luke chapter 2, let me just read this verse for you. Let's see, maybe I'll start a little, little earlier. Jesus, well, let's start at verse 11. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child, Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of him. Knew not of it. So Jesus stayed back in Jerusalem. He grew up in Nazareth, and his mother Mary and Joseph, his father, went looking for him. In verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when the parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. This is an amazing few words that Jesus spoke, if we comprehend it. Because up to this time, God up there, was just God. He was a deity. He was a power. He was the one who made everything, and he was the one who put expectations on you to do it right, or I'll kill you because I'm God. That's the way most people look at it. And it was there was a very religious connotation attached to God, as if God primarily was about establishing a religion. But Jesus called him Father. First one to really say that. Now, there were Old Testament prophets and allusions to the fact that he was the Father. But Jesus' relationship with God wasn't as, you know, Almighty God or sometimes I hear people preach on TV or something and they'll say stuff like, Almighty God. I'm thinking, are you talking about my dad? You know? You know, their understanding is primarily in a religious realm, not a family realm. Not a family realm. Not a relationship realm. But it's all about, oh, I have to do all these things right, and I have to get everything in order, and I have to be perfect, and I have to not fail, and whatever. Now, what father has ever seen their children fail? Now, even this one right over here has failed growing up, you know. And this one here, and on and on and on. And I know that one did right there. But yet, you know, we have a father, and he's more than the earthly father, and we'll get into that. But Jesus refers to him as father, and you sense that he's not doing what he's doing. He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? It's a heart thing. It's not a commandment. It's not a force thing. It's not, you got to do these things right. It is, I want to please my father. I love my father and I want to please him. And in the Old Testament, we have, and this is where some people get confused, because I've heard people say, well, there must have been a different God in the Old Testament. Yeah, you know, there must be, because he seemed really angry. But the New Testament God seems like he loves us. You know, and so must have been a different God. So the God that the Jews had was like an angry elf. Few of you got that. What was the name of that show? Elf, that was the name. You're an angry elf. You're a South Pole elf. So it must have been a South Pole God that was mean, and yet the whole issue was dealing with sin, and Jesus dealt with sin on the cross. You understand? Jesus dealt with sin on the cross, so now all we hear about is the love of God in that sense. And so sin is dealt with. When Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, a thought came to my mind, and that is, Jesus is in the family business. We can be in the family business. You know, in the old days, it used to be, Nussbaum and Sons, or, you know, Moore and Sons. It was, you know, they always had the "and Sons" because they wanted the kids, and particularly the sons, to be in the family business and to carry on the family business that the father had worked hard to establish. You don't hear that so much anymore. But God the Father wants us to be in the family business. And we're not talking about the business of religion. We're talking about the business of demonstrating his life, his love, and his spirit to other people. And so you get a picture of this changeover. It's still in the book of Luke. I'll read it. It's out of chapter 23. If you have your Bible and want to turn there, fine, but I'll read it. It's Luke 23, verse 34, and this is when Jesus died on the cross. I'll read verse 33 and then 34. And this, as I said, this is at the crucifixion. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and on the left hand. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And so Jesus' death on the cross, he looks to the Father, and he says, I'm dying for them. Now you forgive them. Father, forgive him. Not God, not angry God, because he's doing more than, in this act on the cross, he's doing more than forgiving sins. He's making us part of the family. la familia. He's making us part of the family. He is, in this, in the rest of the scriptures, I'll be dealing with that. He's bringing us into union with himself so that we no longer view God as the almighty religious, the highest religious figure of all time, but rather Father, to know him as Father. I know it wasn't but a couple of years ago, I was talking with somebody about this. My grandsons, who Blake is 17 now, 16? 17, 16, something like that. And he's, and I think he was 14 years old. One day we were talking about it, and he was talking about the church that they go to, but when they come up here, they go to church here. And Deb said something about me being the pastor, and he said, "Papa is the pastor?" He didn't know that. But he'd heard me speak many times, but in his church, the pastor had a certain look and feel. But to him, I was Papa. You know, so there was no, you know, I don't know how he acts around the pastor at his church back in Houston. It was probably not the same the way he's acted towards me his whole life, you know, sitting on my lap, me kissing him. I still hug the fool out of him and Bryce and all of my grandkids and just really latch on to him because I love him. And in my opinion, it's not really even necessary for them to know me as pastor. It's not necessary. Let them know life. Let them know the family. Let them know the relationship. Let them know the reality of life, not the rules of religion. Amen? Well, you're only going to do that, and let me make that clear before I move into the next section. You're only going to do that when you start changing your view of God from God, the deity, to God the Father. I didn't say change your theology. I said change your relationship. There's a difference. A lot of people change. Okay, I'm going to join this church and change my theology to whatever they preach here. Oh, now I'm going to become Baptist and change over here. Oh, I'm going to, you know. Well, you know, our church is interdenominational, so you got every kind of background possible here, you know. We don't try to change your culture, your background. We just want you to know Jesus and to know the Father and to come into a living, daily way of, you know, I could say relationship, way of relating to him. That's relationship, but when you say relationship, we go, oh, yes, and that even can become religious. Yes, I want to have a relationship with God. I'm not talking about a relationship with God. I'm talking about relating to your Father. That's what I'm talking about. And Jesus, some of his last words, looks at those that are crucifying, looks at those that are spitting in his face, looks at those that slapped him, looks at those who put a crown of thorn on his head and says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Well, that's covering us. Because sadly, a lot of times we do know what we're doing. You know, right? But in his death, he is totally for us. But he's not for us just in relationship with God. He's for us in relationship with becoming part of the family of God. Father, forgive him. Father. There's an intimacy in his heart. There's an intimacy in his death. There's an intimacy in his direction in coming down here and in carrying out everything. And it's not about doing a religious task that saves sinners. It's about bringing us in so that we are part of the family of God. Were sinners saved? Yes. Is that the only purpose? No. But how many churches do you know that that is the primary theme? And I thought it'd be fitting this Father's Day to just look at that and just look at his heart, to look at his heart. And I appreciate the songs, and I appreciate the scriptures that the kids were holding up for us. Because if you really looked at them, they were expressing heart things, not religious things. You could actually never, you could have been on an island that you never heard anything about any religion and saw the kids do what they did, and you wouldn't come away with religious thoughts about that. You would come away with a sort of an intimate heart from that. There's a God. He's a Father. He loves you. And how many of us have become messed up because we've made it all about religion? And so then we got to unlearn all this stuff, and we've got to wrestle with all these religious things that are pulling at us instead of allowing the freedom of relationship. You know, I hear this a lot. People say, okay, if a rank sinner came in here drunk and da-da-da, everything else, came in here, you would go over afterwards, you'd talk to him, you'd share with him, you'd say, Jesus loves you. You might even hug you. You'd say, oh, Jesus loves you. Well, uncle, you know, whatever, who knows how he'd react. But the point being, oh, you know, we want you to know Jesus' love. You know. But if the guy gets saved and messes up, most Christians go, oh, Jesus hates you. I mean, they would never say that. But now that you're in the family, he really hates you. What? That doesn't even make sense. That's insanity. That's the, you know, no father would do that. You know, an outside kid, oh, I love you, da-da-da-da. But, you know, if you're my own kid, hey, you know, well, maybe we'll find out that maybe in my family that happened. But in God's family, that is not the case. So why don't we start acting like his family instead of his religious zealots? Amen. Still in Luke chapter 12, if you'll turn there or let me read to you there. Luke 12. And we'll just read verse 32. I'm sorry. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, there's several words there. Fear not. Little flock, meaning you don't have to be the biggest group in the world. Thank God. Huh? Your Father, it pleases him to give you the kingdom. Okay. Well, we fear. We think, you know, my relationship is based on how well I do. And if I don't do good, then I'm rejected. No. We'll get into that a little more just in a few minutes. But no. No. His heart for you is greater than you know. It is. It's greater than I know. It is unconditional love, but he doesn't have it. He is it. God is love. Unconditional love. Oh, yeah. Well, it's unconditional other than, well, if I do this and then it's... That's the way we think. But, you know, if we really believe that, I mean, if we really believe that it's unconditional love, but if I do this, then we need to quit calling it unconditional love. Just wipe it from your vocabulary. Rip it from your tongue, because you don't believe it. And you are serving the God of the old covenant again. But You're not of the old covenant, you're of the new. You're not a religious people, you are the family of God. And so let's look at a few more scriptures. So 1 John, over in 1 John. I'm sure we're all familiar with this scripture. 1 John chapter, well, I'll tell you what, let's just go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We've been brought into something. Do you see that? It says we've been brought into something. All of us have been brought into something. It didn't say we've been brought into the religion of the Son of God. We've been brought into the religion of the Son. It says that we've been brought into fellowship with the Father. How many times do religious thoughts come to your head and say, well, God's upset with you because you did that, or because you thought that, or you're this way, or you can't seem to get over this. And so we immediately go into that sort of stuff. And yet, and I won't go deep into this, if you really want to know more about this scripture, ask Mallory, because she's been studying there. Isn't that correct? And has some wonderful insight into this. But the fellowship here, it's not the fellowship of the religious rituals. It's the fellowship with the Father. And we build barriers with the Father because we're so religious. And so we approach him on the basis of religion. If we mess up, or if we need something, or we're going to pray, you know, oh God, you know, oh, you know, this and that. And even right here, look in chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, I mean, listen, the first three words there, my little children. He didn't say you filthy sinners, you bad people. Or in my way of saying it, you messer-uppers. That's not real English. I make up stuff. I make up words. Or I could say it in Oak Cliff language, but we'd have to bleep that. My little children. And he didn't just say little children. He could have said little children. My, there's this reaching out. There's this care. These things write unto you that you sin not, because that's not, you know, it's not what God wants. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay, so here we go. Here's our view. When you first get saved, before you're saved and you say, Lord, I repent, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, who are you usually talking to? In reality, you're usually, because you don't really know Jesus, you're talking to God. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, because it's like, big man upstairs, you know, or God, I'm coming to you, you know. And in truth, it's like standing before the great judge. Am I right or wrong? When you first, because you don't, you know, it's like. But notice the words here. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He's no longer the great judge. That happened when you first, that first initial thing. And after that, you were born into the family. And now you never go to the great judge anymore. You go to your Father. And you know, it's a lot more lenient when the judge is your Father. You know, Dad, but here's the real deal. It's not a situation where he's the judge at that moment. It is a situation that he's your Father. You're not at a bar, you're not getting drunk. No, you're not at a court situation where the judge is sitting up there and has to consider it, but the good news is he's your father. In truth, that picture is even wrong. You're not going to him like that. You're going to your father because this is now a family issue. Well, I don't know about other fathers, but this father is not going to go, ah, you know, you blew it. That's it. I've had it. He does everything he can do to keep us close to him. Everything. Every motive of his heart is to keep us close. Does that make anybody happy? Well, good, because if it doesn't, then you ain't getting what I'm saying. And so everything changes then. Now it's a relationship with the Father. Now the issues are not religious issues, they're family issues. Now the real issue is to keep you flowing with him where he is at, being in tune with the family. How about this? The family business. Because I like that scripture when it went to that. Very familiar scripture, but it's over also in Luke 11. Aren't you proud of me for covering Luke so well? It's about our fifth scripture. Luke chapter 11. This is one everybody in the room will know. Verse 2. And when he said unto them, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallelujah. You know the rest of it. But here's how Jesus starts it off. He says, when you pray, be religious. Oh, God! You know, you see that. As if by shaking your hands or quivering your voice, God's going to go, oh, I like that. So impressive. Do more. Ah! I mean, come on, really, think about it. That would annoy me. If my kids growing up came to me and they wanted something, you know, ice cream man's going by and they wanted, you know, a quarter or something, however much it costs nowadays, you know, and came in and says, Daddy, please. I would go, shut up. What do you want? Well, Daddy, could I please have a quarter? Sure. Right? But we take it right out of the family and make it some sort of religious thing that if we do, well, if I seem broken, I really need a quarter for the ice cream man. I'm not going to eat it selfishly. Look, just take the quarter and go eat it and enjoy it. But somehow we've got this whole, the whole thing is so intertwined with religious tentacles. Like an octopus. Religious tentacles all in there. So it destroys the family spirit. It destroys the love. It destroys the relationship. And it makes it all about everything's got to be just right. And I got news for you. You'll never reach perfection in this life. When do you think it's all going to be right? And do you think you're going to be the first one to reach it since Jesus? How's that working for you? Well, I would say not too good. So let's get into the family. Let's enjoy the Father. Let's build a relationship with Christ. Let's do this thing right in the right spirit. And then I think a lot of the things we're shooting for in religion will pop out of us by life instead of concentrating on all the fear. You talk about fear factor. Messing with the God that... You know, I mean, going in there and I better not say any of these things because some of you go, But it's not that. It's your Father. And that was the thing that impressed me when I really thought about this years later, when it said our Father. And everything that comes after that is based on that, Him being your Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be it. You know, if any prayer has ever been made more religious and unfatherly, that one has. You know? But it starts with Jesus said, they said, we don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And He says, when you pray, pray this, our Father. Padre Celestia. Now that didn't work for me at first. Because my father left when I was 1 year old. He was an alcoholic. My mom was, and they had horrible fights. And my stepfather was an alcoholic, my mom, and they fought, and there were at times horrible stuff going on in the house, right? That man knows, he saw it, he heard it, But he wasn't a man when it happened. We were 16, 17, kids, when you start forming as a man, and this is what we were seeing. So for me to be told He's your Father wasn't a good thing. You following me? Well, I didn't go, oh, warm and fuzzy. God's my Father. I went, oh my God, no. No, He'll beat me. He's going to, He's going to get drunk and come in and I won't know what He's going to do. And He'll sit there and laugh with you 1 minute and then backhand you and knock you out of your chair the next. And you didn't even know it was coming. You didn't know what you did wrong. It's like I'd rather Him just be Almighty God so that I can go, dear God, You got all the power. Get my stepfather, Thank God You're God, and He's just Father. Sick Him! Well, as most of you know, and I don't know if you know Larry, but I ended up leading him to the Lord just before he died. And I'm thankful for that. But it took genuine new birth inside of me to change that because... I hated it. I hated what He did to my mother, and I hated what He did to our family. So, Jesus says, say, our Father. So I'm going, our Father. Our Father. I can't do it. It wasn't, it wasn't a good thing. And when you have a bad father figure, and that maybe yours wasn't an alcoholic, maybe yours didn't beat your mom or beat you as kids, and when I say beat, I mean beat. Maybe there were other things, because there can be other things. It can be terrible things that, and maybe they don't seem so terrible to someone else, but they messed with your life. I was abandoned. At 1 year old, that has an effect on you. Some of you, your father may have left, so you don't even know how to perceive a father. Or you had a father that didn't father you. Right? So what do you do then? Well, first of all, He's the actual Father. He made the earth. Jesus is the Son. He made the cosmos. So He's the original, He's the real Father, and everybody else is a shadow and a very poor picture of Father at that. Can I get an amen? Even the best are a very poor picture of the true fatherhood of God. And so I had to learn what it was like. because I felt like I never had a father, and I was told, at least through the Word of God, that he was different than the fathers that I had seen in action, I had to drop some walls. And I had to open my heart and say, okay. And especially once I started having kids. Because then I really don't know what being a father is like. Am I going to be like them? And that's all you know. If that's all you know, does that scare anybody, some of you, to think of being like your father? I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want... And so you go, okay, well then God, the Father, make me a father. Well, it doesn't work that way. The Father has to manifest his fatherly traits through you. You have to say, not I, but you, not I, but Christ, not I, but the Father, not I, but the Holy Spirit, not my fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. Always leaning upon the Lord, but not in a religious way. Can I get amen again? Not just going, oh, you know, okay, make me a better person, but form the reality of your nature in me so that I am different. And by the way, while I'm not the best father in the world, I think I turned out pretty good compared to what I had. And I love lavishing love on my kids and my grandkids. And I love them. And I want them to know they're loved. And I want them to know no matter what happens, hey, this is an issue here. We'll get past this. But we're going to be together no matter what. That's us. Nothing can break us. And let's work through this together instead of saying, look at the mess you made. That you divide right then. Once you say that, look at the mess you made. You're divided from them. You say, okay, there is a mess. There's at least two of us here to clean it up. How are we going to go about this? And you'll find more strength in working together over issues instead of fighting over them. By the way, this works between husband and wives too. And so, let's go back to 1 John, the third chapter this time. And you begin to see this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, listen to this. How beautiful is this? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the children of God, depending on your translation. Behold what somebody who wrote this is struck with the heart of the Father. Do you see it there? I mean, don't just read it religiously. Someone is struck with the heart of the Father. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That's more than saved sinners. We're all familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God, not the Father, for God loved the world that he gave his Son. He even loved sinners. But this is after the fact now. He's not calling him God, and he's not calling you a sinner. He's calling him Father, and he's calling you children of God, sons of God. Everything's changed, and how you go about it is supposed to change. And maybe his heart changed, but if you keep going at it like every time you go to prayer or you go to talk to you know, God, you go before the great judge. If that's what it's all about, then you haven't really even crossed the line into the new covenant yet. You're still wrestling with old covenant tentacles that keep trying to pull you back, you know. And if you really knew his heart, and that's what one of those signs said, that what did it say? You probably can't remember, can you? But one of the signs the kids said is, and I love the way that the kids read it too. It says, I have been misrepresented. The word that they said was different. It was cute, but it was, you know, I've been misrepresented. But it was, we got it. But it's the Father talking to us. I have been misrepresented. I love you. I'm with you. I wanted to jump up and grab that sign out of their hands and go, ah! Read this, you know. Get it about that far away from you. Okay, I get it. Because this is showing his heart. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that he didn't just save us from sin, said, okay, now you're not going to fry forever. And we go, oh, thank you, big guy. But there's more, and there's more love, and it's not just love for a sinner now, it's a love for his own family. That is different. That is better. All right, just a few more scriptures, and we'll wrap it up here. In Ephesians chapter 1, thank you. I guess, Shay, you brought me this. Just have to be careful, because if I spilled this on a white shirt, I would not be treated like family. I'm joking. Yeah. I would do that. One little spot drops, and I just take this and, how do you like my purple shirt? Sorry. Cut that from the recording. It's your fault. You be quiet. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And, well, let's read a little more. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons or children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, this just keeps going. Basically, it's a long chapter telling you one thing, and I'll never forget the day the Holy Spirit opened my eyes as I read this. I always read this. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ who did all this for us. And one day it hit me. It says the Father did all of this and Jesus was the vehicle. You know, because the way some people look at it is, you know, God is the God of the Old Testament. Again, he's an angry God, so he's just always mad. Which I could understand through my stepfather. You know, he's always mad. And so the good news was Jesus came in and he stepped in between Mr. Angry and poor little me. And he made everything all right. And even if God is still an angry God, Jesus goes, turns around to him and says, calm down. It's going to be okay. And I go, thank you, Jesus. You see, anybody get what I'm saying? That is not the case. The Father was the one who wanted to reach out to us. The Father wanted us in the family. And Jesus said, well, I'll do it. I'll go and I'll purchase it on Calvary. I'll make sure that that happens for your heart. And I saw that. When I saw it, I went, oh, my God. And you have to understand. I mean, it wasn't easy for me to spot fatherly things in the scriptures because it wasn't in, you know, because of my background. It's like I couldn't even see it. Right there, blind to it. And again, I thought Jesus was the guy that kept God off my back. But when I saw this, I went, he's not keeping God off my back. He's bringing the goodness of God as Father to me. And all of these things, all spiritual blessings, come from the heart of the Father. And I just went, you know, I mean, for me, I said, I really got to get to know him as Father. I've got to stop this relating the way that I have been. And so, just one final scripture, and that's in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm pretty sure it's Matthew 6. This was the one verse I didn't get a chance to really look up. Verse 8, I think it is. Yeah. I love this. I love this stuff. I am going to start at verse 5 because this is good stuff. We need to quit reading a book and start drinking of the waters of life out of it. You know what I mean? Quit just reading a religious book and take it in, you know. You wonder why I have big chunks out of my Bible? Verse 5. And don't get deceived by what you're reading until you see what it's saying, okay? You with me? Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy room, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Pray to the Father. Don't be a religious hypocrite and, oh, God, so everybody can see you praying. Oh, you know. I remember one time being part of a church, and there was a man that the pastor would always call up to pray because he was so eloquent, really. And it was his wording and his, you know, I mean, he spoke. When he prayed in King James English. I think God's moved on from that. But that's just my thought. I don't know. You know. I mean, we may get up to glory and stand before him and he says, Buenos dias! You know, I mean, you don't know. Then what are you going to do? Dad? First, let's move on, okay? Where am I? Oh, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy room, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to your Father, who is in secret, and thy Father, who seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the pagans do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I just love that. That is clearly a picture. He says, look, when you pray, talk to your Father. Somebody says, you know, Randy, do you pray a lot? I said, well, I don't know. It's really, you mean, do I talk to my Father a lot? Anybody see the difference? Yes. I talk to my Father all the time. But I don't go, oh, you know. God. Hear my prayer. And that's basically what he's saying right here. He is using A little bit different example, but he's saying don't be religious about it. When you pray, talk to your Father, because he knows what things you have need of. Can it get any more sweet? Dulce. No. But if God is relating to you as Father and you keep coming to him on a religious basis, how many of those prayers you think are going to get answered? Because he told you not to do that. Is anybody listening to me here? He told you not to do that. You go, why doesn't God answer my prayers? I pray religious prayers all the time and I fold my hands. You know, I don't know that it ever says fold your hands in the Bible. It doesn't even say close your eyes when you pray. You know? I mean, I notice sometimes when we'll join hands and pray, and I'll be sitting there and I'll be just looking around, I'm praying, you know, because I don't have to have my eyes closed like, where are you, God? You know? I sit there and look around and I look over there and Mallory's doing the same thing. Doop, doop, doop. Well, just because you have your eyes closed. You know, of course, it is a little disconcerting when you got your eyes closed and you open it up and Mallory's staring at you. Close your eyes! You want to just like take the handle and do like this a little. Don't look at me. Just kidding. I don't know how I got off on that. But the truth is we have all these religious things. We think God will hear you if you fold your hands. Or we think God will hear you if you close your eyes. Or we think we're adding stuff in. Well, God doesn't hear Mallory because she keeps her eyes open. Well, God's not playing peekaboo. He just wants to hear your heart. What is your heart? He just wants to hear your heart. And that's what Jesus is saying right there. And he's standing up for the Father. He's come to represent and to tell us about the Father. And he's saying, stop wandering around in the synagogue trying to look religious and everything, praying in a religious manner, but when you pray, talk to your Father, and he knows what you have need of before you ask him, but he likes you to come to him. That's what he's saying. He's trying to break the old ways of relating, and he's trying to awaken not just our minds, but our hearts to a Father. To a Father. Let's look at verse 32 since we're here. For after all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth the things that you have need of all these things. And so he's talking about clothes and housing. And he's saying, he knows what you have need of. He has the power to take care of you. But he's looking for you to start relating to him in that way instead of the old covenant way. He's looking for you to come to him. I mean, there have been many a times when my girls were younger that in between lunch and dinner, if we were out somewhere, you know, we were out somewhere at the church or something like that, and the ice cream man came by and you heard the tinkling of the truck and stuff, and they ran to me, and it's an hour before dinner, and they said, you know, their little blonde curls bobbing up and down as they run and grab their daddy's leg, just like my grandchildren do now. Run and grab me and jump in my arms. And gather around me and say, Daddy, Daddy, can we please have an ice cream? Please, Daddy, please, Daddy. That me knowing the right thing is they shouldn't have ice cream before dinner. It's the right thing. Sorry, munchkins. But not me. Because they are relating to me as Daddy. They are coming to me as my offspring. They're coming as my little girls. They are fully heart to heart with their daddy. And saying, Daddy, can we please have an ice cream, please? The one thing they don't want to hear out of my mouth is, who knows what it is? Ask your mommy. And she does it out of love and because she cares, and my kids have grown up healthy and they still eat healthy, unlike their daddy. But I didn't have a mommy like that. but I would give them, I clearly remember, the heartstrings of a father in me being pulled for them and going, I don't care what happens, I'm getting you that ice cream. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, well, I wanted an ice cream too. It wasn't all Jesus. And it still isn't all Jesus. But you see what I mean, don't you? So, here's my prayer. Number one, if you're not born into the family of God, ask to be forgiven and to be made part of the family. You do that on your own. You do that. And you're automatically in the family. Number two, if you are already in the family, start talking to your father. Start building and relating on a whole new basis and watch the changes start happening. It's amazing. He's amazing. That's what it is. He's amazing. And he's an amazing father. And from my perspective, I didn't have a decent father figure, but God is my father, and I have a father, and I have a relationship with a father that I wouldn't trade for anything. And I am so happy and so content and so pleased. In one sense, I'm so pleased that I didn't have the right kind of relationship, because it made me hunger to have a real relationship with a father. And God said, I'll be your father. So that's my prayer. These prayers, you can pray in your own heart. But let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Each one of you know where you're at. I don't. That's not, in one sense, that's not even any of my business. But I'm going to go ahead and pray a prayer, and if there's something of that prayer that matches your heart, then you just say, yes, Lord. Or you just pray some things to him. Father, thank you for wanting more than just to save sinners from a burning hell. You brought us much higher than that. You brought us into your very family. And Father, if there's any here that are not in the family, I pray that they'll be brought in. Father, I just pray that your loving arms would go to them now. They would sense, they would feel your presence, your drawing to him as Father. And that they would ask you in their own way and in their own heart to bring them into the family, to wipe away their past, and to join them into something that is eternal throughout all the ages to come. Jesus, forgive them of their sins and show them the Father. And Father, for those who are in the family already that have been here this morning or that could be watching the video or listening to the tape, that you would begin to move on them in their own personal heart as to how they would relate to you, not as the God of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, but as the Father that Jesus came to tell us about. And that they would drop all their religious defenses and entrust their very being into your loving care, knowing that that's what you've wanted all along. So well put by the children. So well put in such a precious spirit, communicating the way that you are. So, Father, thank you for this day. May the fathers and grandfathers of this fellowship, some here, some wherever they are, Lord, that they would have a wonderful day with their families. Lord, those who can't be with family because they're separated by time and space, that they would be content as to who you made them and the offspring that you allowed to be brought forth. Father, thank you again, not just for saving me, not just for saving us, but for loving us and bringing us into your family and bringing us into your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.